Okay, ladies, welcome. Tehillim. These chapters are studied Le'enu Nishmat Tzadeket Le'a, Lily Bat Virginia, Mrs. Lily Medde Bade Shalom. This is the brainchild of her son Rafi, the doctor. Mitsuyan Sheberofim that wanted to memorialize his mother, so he asked me to deliver a chapter a week and have his mom in mind as we do. Today we're up to chapter 51. If you have your Tehillim books in front of you, it's Nun Aleph. And the good news is that we're done with B'nai Korah. We're finished with that section of the Tehillim. And now we move on to a classic. Nun Aleph is a classic. It is called the Mizmor of Teshuvah. It's the Mizmor of Repentance. So we could not read it at a better time of the year. Elul, a few weeks before Rosh Hashanah, we're coming to the Zmanei Teshuvah, the time of Teshuvah. So important is this chapter that we read it very, very frequently. There's a halakha that says that every night we're supposed to mourn the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. The men actually stay up, or they get up in the middle of the night, and they read special psalms from the Tehillim. This service is called Tikkun, Tikkun Rachel and Tikkun Le'ah. It's called, as a general, Tikkun Hatzot. And we do this, we try to do it as best as we can. It's not an easy thing, we have to be up for it, obviously. And sometimes Hatzot could be after 1 a.m. But this is a Tikkun. And the Tzaddikim, they sit on the floor and they read chapters that agonize over the destruction of the temple. As an example, one of the chapters they read, Al Naharot Babel, Sham Yashavnu, Gam Bachinu, Bezochrenu, Etzion, which talks about how we cried on the way down to the Babel at the time that they destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. We also read this chapter, chapter 51. And I saw from Rabbi Gamliel Rabinovich that he said, because the reason for the Beit HaMikdash is our Avonot. So therefore, this chapter is directly related to the destruction. So therefore, the Tzaddikim read this chapter every night during Tikkun Hatzot. I know you ladies don't attend and don't expect you to attend the Selichot service every morning, but the men that attend it begin also Selichot by saying chapter 51. It's a common chapter to read. Now, who is the Baal Teshuvah of our chapter? None other than David HaMelech Alav HaShalom. Now, you need an introduction just to know what sin we're talking about over here. David HaMelech was a perfect tzaddik. Far be it from me to come Chas V'Shalom and measure and judge. I cannot measure the mitzvot of David HaMelech, let alone to measure his mistakes. And I will introduce my statement today, with which the Gemara says, "Kol ha'omer David chata to'eh." Anybody that thinks David HaMelech sinned in the normal interpretation of sin is making a mistake. That means they don't understand who David HaMelech is. You just think, "Oh yeah, well, I made that sin also, and David's like me." You're making a big mistake. We cannot superimpose our weaknesses on the tzaddikim. The tzaddikim, even their sins, are far beyond our wildest understanding. I think I once told you that there was once a tzaddik and he was making tashlich. You know how they shake their garment and they say, "V'tashlich b'msulot yam." They throw their sins. And the students were standing behind the tzaddik and they were going like this. They were grabbing. The rabbi said, "What are you doing?" And the student said, "Rabbi, what you throw away as a sin, for us as a mitzvah, we'll take your sins." That means it's all relative. And this sin over here is a relative sin. Now that we got that out of the way, let's talk what we're talking about over here. David HaMelech Alav HaShalom was once on the roof. And all of a sudden he saw on the roof a lady, and he was drawn to this lady. And he found out that she was married. The lady's name was Bathsheba. And she was married to Uriah Hiti. So I'm making it very simple. He knows that he cannot go with a married lady. That's obvious. He sent Uriah Hiti out to the war, and as a result, he died during the war. And therefore, since he died during the war, so therefore she was not married, and therefore she became permissible to David. The only problem is, David was with her before he died. There you go. So now it becomes a little complicated. Which means if he died, well, we have no question. So she's a widow. She's a widow. She's permissible to David. But the question is, if it happened before he died in the war, so the explanation that the Gemara says is that the custom in the olden days was that before they went out to war, they would give a divorce to their wives. For the simple reason that sometimes soldiers are MIA, they're missing in action, and they don't return. God forbid the wives will be agunot. Aguna is a lady that's in limbo. She doesn't know what the status of her husband is. And then she has, God forbid, becomes alone the rest of her life. So what they did was, is they said, listen, Mahob, I'm coming back. But in the event that I don't come back, I'm giving you the get, and the get is activated from now. That means, if he dies, the get is not from the day, from the moment he dies. The get is activated from now, retroactively. So you want to hear the story now? What happened? I'll just give you an example. David HaMelech sent Uriah on Monday to the war. Now, I'm going to stop there for a second. I know you're going to ask yourself, what kind of trick, what kind of dirty trick is this? He wants to take his wife, so he sends him to the war? That sounds like it's a problem also. The Gemara deals with this as well. Uriah was no Sadiq. Uriah was guilty of death because Uriah was considered what we say, Morid bin Malchut. He rebelled against the king. We don't have a king, so we're not so familiar with these things. In America, you could curse the president out, and they tell you freedom of speech. In the olden days, if you curse the king out, God forbid, they kill you. It's a law in the Torah. So Uriah was disrespectful to King David. Whatever he did. It's a mahlokin in the Gemara what he did, or amongst the commentators. So he was guilty. So David had every right to put him on the front lines in order that God should take care of him, and God did take care of him. The problem is like this. David sent them out to the war on Monday. Very good. David was with Bathsheba Monday night. Uriah didn't die till Tuesday morning. So on Monday night, Uriah was still alive. So at that time, limbo. But guess what? When Uriah dies on Tuesday, retroactively, she's divorced from Monday. Understand what I'm saying? So therefore, Monday night, he was okay. So it's like, it worked out in the end. Hashem didn't make David sin. Although at the time, this is a potential hasba shalom. This is a potential disaster. It's a potential scandal, we'd call it. But it didn't work out. Hashem will not let the tzaddik. So then the Gemara then says, so after all this, why did this come to David? It says David wasn't worthy of such a situation in the first place. So why did this happen to him? Because God wanted to use David as an example to the people that you can make teshuvah. That teshuvah works for an individual. Nobody should say, oh, I made a mistake, I made a sin, and therefore I'm doomed. So no, David, you'll become now the Rebbe of teshuvah. David HaMelech knew that this sin was not worthy to him, because it really wasn't a sin at the end, but it was a Hilul Hashem. Because the people don't know all these details that I told you. People say, what do you mean? What are you married to the Bathsheba? He took his wife. So the optics were very, very negative, let's say. But again, on paper, if you're writing David's a summons, what are you going to write him? What crime did he commit? Double parking? Wasn't. Alternate side? It wasn't. Fire hydrant? Wasn't. There's no crime he committed over here. You can't say, married later, she wasn't married. You killed Uriah, he was guilty. I mean, there's an answer for everything he did. But, Marit Ayin, it doesn't look good. And the tzaddik has to be, and by the way, the Zohar Kadosh says, it's not like he took somebody that didn't belong to him. Bathsheba was his nasib from Shishit Yemei Ma'aseh Bereshit. He knew that. David was a prophet. He knew his soulmate. He knew that Bathsheba belonged to him. And yes, Bathsheba did belong. Ladies, I just have to make one more point. Eventually, David will get his punishment. I'm going to read about it now. But ultimately, Bathsheba ends up becoming David's wife and ends up having a child. Who's the child of Bathsheba? Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon. And that, could King Solomon come from adultery? God forbid. That's the reward of adultery? So you see from the fruits that came out of it that David HaMelech did not do a federal crime. Shlomo HaMelech is the wisest man that ever lived and becomes the first Jewish king the first king that built the Beit HaMikdash, and from Shlomo HaMelech eventually comes Mashiach. I mean, that's part of the line. So therefore we cannot convict David HaMelech of the crime that it seems to be, but nonetheless the Pasuk says Lam Naseyach Mizmor David. He writes this chapter recanting or recalling this whole episode. Now there's two words that need to be explained right from the get-go. Lam Naseyach sounds like, well, let me explain it to you simply. We explain this many times, but I guess we should explain it every time. There was a conductor in the Beit HaMikdash. The conductor was called the Menatzeach. David HaMelech would write these psalms, and eventually they would play these psalms in the temple. So he's writing it to the conductor. Now, I know in his time there was no temple, but eventually there would be a temple. So he would give them the lyrics, the music, and all that, and they would play it in the Beit HaMikdash. So it's Lam Naseyach. But Lam Naseyach also means to the victor, the Tzachon, that there was a victory over here of some sort. Mizmor le David, Song of David. Song of David. This is going to talk about one of the most dark episodes of King David's life, where the prophet Nathan is going to come to him and give him a rebuke for the sins that he committed. You wouldn't think that David HaMelech would introduce this chapter as Mizmor, song. As a matter of fact, you might have said lamentation be a better word. Kina le David. What is the song? So I'd like to explain it to you based on what I saw in Rav Chida. Rav Chida, alav shalom, in his sefer called Humat Anach. So he says that when a person commits a sin, he creates an angel. Just like when you commit a mitzvah, you create an angel. Only problem is when you create a sin, the angel is not called the good angel, it's called the mekatreg. A mekatreg is a prosecutor. The sin itself prosecutes. A person has to get rid of that prosecutor. The way we get rid of the prosecutor is through teshuvah. Teshuvah silences the prosecutor. So therefore, says Rav Chida, that ultimately David's going to make teshuvah. And ultimately the prophet is going to tell him, God has forgiven you. And the prosecutor has been silenced. So therefore, it's Lam Naseyach. David HaMelech was victorious. Over who? Over the sin that he committed, over the Mekatrik itself. He was able to take a very, very negative, very good lawyer against him, and he was able to get rid of him. So that's a victory. But I'll tell you even more, and I'll prove it from the Pesukim in a moment, that we believe that when you make proper teshuvah, not only does the sin disappear, but the sin ultimately turns into a mitzvah. It's an amazing thing, but that's our tradition. The sin turns into a mitzvah. But you have to make teshuvah on a high level for that to work. So therefore, David obviously made teshuvah on that high level. So he said, Lam Naseyach. First, I was able to overcome and beat the prosecutor. I was victorious. But then, better, I turned him from a prosecutor into a defense, which was I flipped him to a mitzvah. For that, he said, Mizmor. You understand the 2 points? Lam Naseyach, Mizmor. Lam Naseyach, that I beat the prosecutor, that I silenced him. Mizmor, that I turned him, I flipped him. From a prosecutor to a, in Hebrew they call Katigor, to a Senigor. Katigor is a prosecutor, to Senigor is a defense lawyer. Okay, that's the introduction to the chapter. Now look what happens. I'm going to say, I'm going to use this book over here. You know, I'm very, very fortunate. Since I started giving this Tehillim class, so there's people that listen to it, not only the people that come alive, but you're the most important, obviously. But there's people that, you know, listen to it online, whatever it is, and they want to help me out because they know I need a lot of help. So anytime there's a new Tehillim book that comes out, they drop it to the house. Rabbi, we know you're giving a shiur. And I'm very grateful because these books I'm not aware of. I can't buy every book. I can't afford every book, first of all. But even if I can, it's too many books. Anyway, my good friend Yanki Meyer, he had a wedding last night. Yizachel Latov. He came special to deal. He drove all the way from Brooklyn. And he drops me this new Tehillim book. What a piece, like an encyclopedia. From the great Mekubal from Yerushalayim, Rabbi Gamliel Rabinovich. May he live and be well. And there's beautiful, beautiful secrets over here in the way he explains it. So I'm very grateful. We're going to use this today. Bebo Elav Natan HaNavi. Ladies, if you have your Tehillim book in front of you, you can follow inside. It's good to know every word of this chapter. Bebo Elav Natan HaNavi. When Natan HaNavi came to him, Ka'asher Ba El Bat Shava. Wow. At the time that he came, he went with the lady that's called Bathsheba. So it sounds like that Natan HaNavi came immediately after